Caller says, typical politicians in Donegal, let's see their real power now if they can reverse this decision. Fine Gael lost their Dáil seat in Donegal because of their inability to deliver, believes this listener. Fianna Fáil got two seats. How? I'm unsure, considering they've consistently failed the people of Donegal. Well, look, I mean, the politicians will do their bit and they're united on that, and I think that's very important. But it is the medical professionals that are driving this, really, to come together in such numbers and to lay out the situation as stark as they have. There's no politician that could actually ignore it. And yes, they can keep the pressure on at a political level. And yes, honestly, I do believe that this campaign will be successful. Not to discourage anyone from campaigning for it. I just, you know, in fact, I shouldn't even be saying that. Email the health minister. You know, you don't have to be Wordsworth or Shakespeare. Email the health minister and say, we need a hub in Donegal. Please, please, please have a look at this decision. Simple as that. But yeah, I get where you're coming from. But in terms of party political situations, it's kind of parked at this stage because we're all pulling in the one direction. Make no mistake, Greg, Ceuta is the problem. A Connacht-based outfit will give nothing to Donegal. If we don't see this, we will get nowhere. Thanks, James. Morning, Greg. Charlie McConnell won't come on and chat about the hospital, but he'll go to Bonagy United reunion on Saturday night as a guest speaker. Listen, I personally, it's up to Charlie McConnell what he does. He's issued a statement. He's fully behind this campaign. It's obvious we know at this point that Charlie has an issue with me in terms of coming on the programme. He believes that I am not balanced, that I'm anti-government. That's up to him. From my perspective, the door's always open because personally, I'm a nobody. Literally, I'm no one. And these issues are bigger than any individual or anyone's feelings, I think, personally. But that's just my perspective. I respect Charlie McConnell, his decision. That's up to him. There's nothing more I can do. There's nothing more I can do. And my record, hopefully, given the fact that I can speak to absolutely every other politician, Taoiseach, Tarnished, a health minister, a minister for fisheries, everyone. I can speak to absolutely everyone and no issues. So I'm not going to be labelled as something I'm not either. But anyway, as I say, that's irrelevant because the big issue is the people of Donegal and their well-being, as far as I'm concerned. And I don't care about myself or my career. Greg, you've got a far-reaching platform. Keep using it. Fair play to you. If it weren't for your show, we'd hear nothing of what's going on. That's against the people of Donegal. It's in the papers and the websites do a good job too, but I appreciate your comments, Mary. Another situation where statistics are massaged to make them lie. Well done, Greg and the doctors, as this would be another terrible issue that would slip under the radar. This issue, a lack of services now and even less effective services in the future, will affect the whole population of Donegal, even the wealthy. Everyone in Donegal should join a campaign to ensure the county gets decent health services and support the doctors. We need to meet with Minister now, not next month. Okay, Donegal needs both hubs and ambulatory for the best, or the best of both, to catch up on services throughout other parts of Ireland. The ambulatory idea is just to fob Donegal off as usual, another mean government bluff. Well, we're not going to be fobbed off if that's what it is. You know, I think we can say that with confidence. Greg, why are the people not out in their thousands fighting for this hub in Letterkenny University Hospital? We've no politicians to do it for us, so it's up to all of us. That comes in from Ava. Ava, there might become a time in the next few weeks that the people of Donegal might be called to come out onto the streets if this political campaign and the doctor's campaign is not effective. Maybe someone wants to organise something for a day, one weekend, just to ram home the message. But there is a process ongoing at the moment. Maybe a public protest might help. Maybe the time for that might come. If anyone else was to behave like politicians, the name would be blackened all over the country. Politicians come around looking for votes, and they say they lie through their teeth. And when they get into government, they just lay back and laugh at the silly people that believed them. So the people have no one to blame but themselves. Greg, where are all Donegal's county councillors? Have they got no tongue to speak up for our county? Well, listen, all of them can't come on. Again, I find myself often sort of coming as if I'm defending councillors. You know, the TDs are running with this ball. Some of the councillors are very, you know, I think all of them agree that this is unacceptable. I think I can speak for all of them. I don't think I'd be out of place in doing so. Regarding the hospital decision, has anyone asked what is in this deal for Marion Harkin? Did she have a big impact into the deal with the Michael Lowry party? I was astonished to hear that government representatives didn't bother turning up to meet the minister when she visited Letterkenny General Hospital. Were they afraid that they would have to ask awkward questions on behalf of the people they represent? I will not vote for any of these people again, as they failed to represent me. Have you, Greg, asked any of them to give a reason for their absence? Of course I did. In fact, on the day. On the day, we did. One was away. Sinn Féin decided not to. Another couple agreed that it would just be a photo shoot and would serve no purpose. That's what we do here. We hold people to account and we ask the tough questions. And at that time, that's one of the elements of that story that we covered. Right. As I say, still so many messages. We'll get to them as the hour wears on. Right, we're talking about a golf classic. It's the Ronald McDonald House Golf Classic, sponsored by iMotors, it has to be said. It's at the beautiful Dunfanaghy Golf Club, taking place on Friday the 4th of June. And it is for a very important cause. We're joined by Sean Quinn, CEO of Highland Radio, to discuss this. Good morning, Sean. Thanks for your time.
Morning, Greg.
Gareth Nee, good morning to you, Gareth.
Morning, Greg.
And also we have Victor Burns, training manager at McDonald's in Letterkenny. How are you getting on, Victor?
Not too bad, Greg. Good morning.
Gareth, I'll start with you, if that's okay, because you know firsthand how important the Ronald McDonald House is, and it's to do with the care of Noah.
Yeah.
Talk to me about what difference it has made to your family.
I suppose, excuse me, when you go down there to the Crumlin, it's a very stressful, emotional time. And, you go over, you go down there and you go over to the Ronald McDonald House, and it's just, I suppose, home from home. It really is a kind of escapism from the stresses of the hospital. And the staff there are absolutely amazing. You get, your meals each day. The kids can come and stay over at times. They loved it, actually. It's one of their favourite memories over there. And actually, our kids were quite protected from it, from all the kind of medical things of Noah in the heart ward.
Because everything was thrust on you. Even, when Noah was born, learning that he had health complications and then being told, right, he's going to have to go to Crumlin for this. And then, uprooting the family and trying to keep some sense of normality. There's no time to process that. It's all coming at you thick and fast. And then up steps a facility like this that sort of distracts a little bit from stuff that you don't need to be worrying about.
Yeah, because before this, obviously, we had no idea about this. And as one of the nurses had told us, before the Ronald McDonald House, parents had nowhere to stay. Having to maybe stay in a hotel for months on end. Because we had three long stays over a period of 3-4 years. But to be able to stay on the same grounds of the hospital, on the same site, 3-minute walk away. As I say, you're at the heart ward and it's extremely stressful and emotional and worrying. But then you walk over to the Ronald McDonald House and you see Joe and Jenny, to name a few, and their staff are there, amazing. And then they have volunteers that come in every day that cook you meals, so they take that away from you. But then, you're amongst other parents and families who are in the same kind of boat. And that kind of camaraderie is quite, helpful, so. Yeah.
And you need to be strong because, you have to be there for Noah. And so you have to have an opportunity to not travel a great distance, not go into a sort of a heartless hotel. I don't mean that badly, but you know what I mean. But also allow yourself to process what you've gone through that day, to give the other kids, when that's applicable, a little bit of normality.
Yeah, when we go back to the Ronald McDonald House, and maybe the kids come over to visit us, for a while, for years, or maybe the odd time stay overnight. There's a nice wee play area, there's TV, and there's wee PlayStation things in the library there. And it is, as I say, it shelters our kids totally, because they never had to face that sort of ICU kind of thing, thank God. And it was just, as I say, a home from home, and it was just so comforting, and the food was prepared and we had no worries like that. And it was something to rest because you're exhausted by the end of the day. Or, myself, my wife, Natty, were taking, chefs going over to the ICU and sitting with Noah for hours on end. But to go back over the Ronald McDonald House, to see Joe and to see Jenny and Rachel and a few others, and they were just they were so lovely, the staff, that they could never do enough for you. And just the comfort of it, and to have your own room and to be able to rest and recuperate. Like, it was very, very important to us. Like,
and I think really the greatest endorsement you could get with everything you were going through, that there's happy memories associated with staying there. Like, yeah, it almost seems impossible, doesn't it?
It's a very strange
what you were going through. But I think that must point to the homely feeling, or the staff, or you know, it's an interesting one.
As you mentioned yourself, like, you know, we're not staying in a hotel, like, you know, never mind the financial burden, which would have been exceptional, like, but it was a real home from home, like, and it was a 3-minute walk, like, and just that smile welcome from Joe and the rest of them, like, was just amazing. And you know, you know, it was just, you could go over there and relax, well, as best you could, like, you know.
Yeah, that's what it's all about, is to just try and I think the thing too with things like the Ronald McDonald House, and there's other things too, like blood bikes and stuff, like, we kind of know they're there, but we don't necessarily know what they do, really, the ins and outs of it, you know what I mean? You'd be familiar with it. But then there comes a point, and we hope no one ever has to, but unfortunately we know it will, then there comes a point that they become so important because you understand what they do.
When I was chatting to Victor there before we came on air there, we're just saying, you know, we know all about these charities around the country and what they do, you know, cancer and Alzheimer's and stuff. But when you become immersed and when you become involved in one, you know, it's only really then when you truly see the work they do and stuff, like, because, you know, when I was outside to Crumlin Hospital, like, and you see the cars passing, the buses passing, people walking past. But when you walk into the Children's Hospital, and it just shows you, like, all the kids, like, and all the circumstances they have, and the families that are coping with all that there. And thank God for the Ronald McDonald House, because it is an absolute godsend. Like, you know.
Victor Burns, training manager at McDonald's Letterkenny. Talk to me a bit more about Ronald McDonald's House. What's its tie-in with McDonald's? Because, again, because obviously, you know, only when fundraising, McDonald's don't necessarily market their involvement in this for clout, right? So it's kind of some might see it as a strange sort of a marriage, but it works so well. So talk to me a little bit about the history.
Well, the history is, last year, worldwide, it celebrated 50 years of being involved. It started out in the States, and in Ireland, it was actually 20 years, you know, since they opened the house up in Crumlin. I suppose to say that the marriage is, it was, people saw this, that families needed support, and where better than get it from McDonald's. So then the house was developed, and, you know, and you, like, people said, Gareth as well, we were speaking about, said to me, he says, because why do I get involved behind it? Because I see what it does for families, you know, especially people like Gareth. And there's other families that I know in Donegal that I've met, you know, in the restaurant here also, but also you've been in the house once or twice. And, you know, the way it's done is McDonald's, you know, it's done separate to it. You know, it started off, obviously, back in the day, you just have boxes around the place and we'd run different fundraising events, you know, in-house in the restaurant. And then it's obviously developed in that, you know, with the internet and that, so there's different, you know, different ways. When people are ordering now in the restaurant, they have a chance to, you know, top up their payment, you know, with that little bit of donation. You know, every bit of money that goes in, you know, goes to the house and to work with you know, the facilities that are there, you know. And like Gareth says, like, you know, providing that safety and home away from home, so people feel secure, you know. And, you know, I know most of the staff up there, you know, in the house. And one thing I'll say, you know, people talk about it, about them, you know, talking to families that have used it, you know, that they get, you know, they get that comfort, you know. And it's obvious that we have to fundraise for stuff and we continue to do it, you know. The McDonald's franchisees are 100% behind it and are always pushing it and helping what we can do. And we have different campaigns that are run.
Yeah, and of course, the further you move away from Dublin, the more important things like Ronald McDonald House is. And I suppose within the company then that gets a buy-in into this, Victor, you know, staff start, you know, if they don't already know, start to really understand the kind of work that it does and the importance of the donations and maybe get involved in events over the course of the year.
Yeah, well, that's it. Like, and there's you know, every store does something different, and around Ireland there's different things happen. But McDonald's themselves, you know, have five major fundraising events like that they hold. Like, you know, but also if you put the numbers into perspective, over 5,000 families have been, you know, helped, you know, throughout Ireland. You know, over with over nearly 400 now from the Donegal region, or even in the northwest, it's nearly 600. You know, that families that have had the benefit of the house, like to use it. So if you put that into the numbers, that they go down there and they don't have that, and then, as I said, with the fundraising, the five major events is one of the biggest ones that they have is obviously they have an annual ball every year in Dublin, and they're involved in different running events like between the Dublin Marathon, Cork City Marathon, to just the previous bank holiday weekend. They do annually. We do a golf classic up in Dublin anyway in September. So people who take part in this golf classic have the opportunity now, if they win, to get a place in that, and to see more at hand. Like,
you know, so this is actually almost a qualifying event,
yes,
as well.
That's
as
it. Yes,
as well as a fundraiser. Yeah.
So there's a bit. Why do you think I'm sitting here?
So that's it.
Well, it's the closest you'll get to
And then the biggest campaign that they do every year around Christmas time is it's a Santa hat campaign.
Yeah.
And really, that's a biggie, and we get that's involved, the flagship. And it just gets that, you know, that fun atmosphere to what people want. Okay. Like, you know,
Gareth, do you play golf?
I couldn't swim.
I was going to say, you look too cool for golf. You know what I mean? Well, all I can hear is the rattling of that sexy leather jacket.
No.
Have you had any WD-40 on you? Right, okay. Just before I bring in Sean, lots of people asking, how's Noah? I didn't ask how Noah is.
Do you know, Noah's doing great now. He's 7. He's in senior infants up in Lurgy Bragg School. They're amazing with him too. Like, you know, they've a great understanding with him. But he's brilliant. He's it's funny because, you know, the doctors always tell us about, you know, this and that to keep him okay, like, you know, but he's a bit of a hitter, like, so he's a bit of an oxymoron. Like, we're trying to keep him calm all the time, but, you know, energy-wise, sometimes, you know, there's lots of little side effects with him, but, you know... he's a walking miracle, because a couple of them surgeries were touch and go, like, they were open-heart surgeries.
Because he's such a wee thing at that stage.
Yeah, the first one was when he was 5 days old. Heart was the size of a strawberry.
Yeah.
Strawberry, and then
and look at him now.
So he's doing amazing.
It's amazing stuff.
He is. He's a miracle.
Brilliant stuff. And you know what? A testament to our brilliant health professionals as well. It's so many layers come together. Right, Sean. The Ronald McDonald House Golf Classic. iMotors on board. Fair play to Seamus and the crew. It's at Dunfanaghy Golf Club on Friday, the 4th of July. And, you know, no better way to raise money than have a bit of fun, a bit of competition as well.
Absolutely. And Victor came to me a couple of months ago and said, would I be interested? And obviously I know the backstory of what the house does for people. So it was a no-brainer for us. I think it's a great thing to be associated with. Obviously I've got a golf background as well, so I have a key interest in, and I suppose help.
What do you mean you have a golf background?
Well, I play golf most weekends. So.
You made it sound like you used to be Rory McIlroy.
Well, every weekend.
I've got a golf background.
In fairness, every weekend I think I'm Rory McIlroy, going down in the car.
I've heard things being massaged in Melbourne, right? But a 12 handicapper.
No, 10 actually, 10.
No, double digit handicapper 10. Said, I've got a background in golf. Ah, you're good. But anyway,
I saw that one.
No, I've got a background in horse jumping as well.
Yeah.
I used to ride a horse.
I must buy you a horse now.
But anyway, come here. Do you know what the thing about this, and you'll get to this in a second, Sean, and it's great that you we're coming on board, is that, you know, if you add up things like food and tea fees and stuff, green fees, right, you know, you actually get better, you get better value taking part in a fantastic event like this than if you were to go out and do it, you know, as a group on your own. So it's a no-brainer, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. And like, we had one yesterday and we played, and it's great crack.
Mm.
It's brilliant crack. It's competitive because we're all competitive and we want to win. But what we're looking for is we want as many teams as possible.
Yeah.
And the reason I wanted to come on today is our reach is right across the Northwest. And I'm reaching out to people to say, come and join us on the day, because it makes a massive difference, not only from the golfing perspective, but also the raffle that'll be there in the day and the camaraderie. And find out more about what Ronald McDonald House actually does, because, you know, there's a PR opportunity here as well that we can tell more people. I knew nothing about it up until 2 years ago. Today, I think it's something that I'm delighted to be part of. And I want to raise as much money as we can on the day.
It's teams of four, obviously, with being golf. It's €150 per team, including food.
Yep.
There's prizes for first, second, third and fourth, longest drive, nearest the pin, and actually, you know, a nice little incentive, as we heard earlier on. Winners also qualify for entry into the Four Ball McDonald Classic in September 2025. So, like, there's a lot to play for too, and to raise money for a brilliant charity.
Yeah, and I will absolutely be making sure I've got a very strong team down there on the day. But the other important thing, Greg, is we have 18 holes there, so we're looking for sponsors for the tee boxes as well. If you're a business, or if you've been a service user and you've been there and you want to contribute, you know, I think there's €100 for sponsoring a tee box. We can have multiple sponsors on the day, and we'd be delighted to take you on board for your support. We'd thank
so
you.
So for €100, I could get a sign on saying Greg Hughes.
You can, yeah.
That's it.
Well, there'd be 200 for you now. Everybody else would be 100, but you're 200.
All right, okay.
You're playing Sean's team.
Yeah, but he said then.
No, he's dropped now.
Yeah, I was going to say, he said then that he wanted to win. So I think, actually, do you know what? I'm pretty handy. I'm all right, Victor. I'll rock up with my top of the tier handicap. All right, so these events are great fun. And, you know, we're speaking to a crowd that knows the crack, right? That they probably play golf already. And it's a great opportunity to go and play potentially a new course, to meet new friends or bump into old friends, and have a lovely day out playing golf, and then finish up thinking that you've done something significant, which you will have. I mean, it's a win-win, isn't it?
It is, absolutely. And you know, we've spaced the tee box is available all day. So I think we can take up to 70 teams throughout the day.
That's amazing.
And, you know, let's make that challenge. As I said to Victor, if we're going to do this, let's do this right. And let's make it a day that we can say, we'll do that again, because it worked and it was well worth it for
the
charity.
Stick it in the calendar, yeah.
Absolutely. Mm. And it's, you know, €150, as you rightly said, Greg, if you're going to go and play a game of golf, you're going to spend that per person anyway.
100%, yeah.
Absolutely. Exactly. And Dunfanaghy Golf Club have been very generous to us by giving us the facilities for the whole day. So it's the Friday, the 4th of July. And if you want to, the easiest way to book it is actually, you can go onto Dunfanaghy Golf Club website. And it's actually set up on that day, so you can just book your team in. You can also phone the golf club as well. There'll be posters where there'll be social media. We'll be running a few ads, and Victor's available as well for sponsorship. So if you want to sponsor something, feel free to give Victor a call. I don't know if you want to give out your number.
We've all
the
deeds. Listen, I will retain that, because no one's sitting there with a pen and paper.
Yeah,
ready to go.
They can ring here.
So ring, give us a ring. We'll pass that on. That's Victor Byrne, of course, who we've been talking to. Ring Dunfanaghy Golf Club. You'll find their number easy, but it's 91-36335 or dunfanaghygolfclub.ie. And .com. Yep. Did you not do both? No.
Just the .com.
There you go. Right, Gareth, and listen, it's great for you to come in here and plug this. And often when we use a service, then it feels great if we can do something to support them. And your stories, it just says it all. There's nothing really needing to add. Yeah. That a Donegal family, when they needed it most, there was just that helping hand there.
Yeah.
Non-judgmental, no cost, and just to make a horrible situation that little bit more tolerable. And just to recap, if you just tuned in, you know, ironically, with everything that went through, some positive memories come from that treatment process for Noah at Ronald McDonald House. So thank you so much, Gareth, for calling in. Again, just to reiterate what Sean said, Victor, get involved, get four of you together, get on over there July 4th and have the crack. And it's a beautiful course as well, by the way, it has to be said.
On the subject of the date, I just think it's so fitting that it's the 4th of July, because obviously Independence Day, Stars and Stripes, and the logo thing for Ronald McDonald House is, we call it about Wear Your Stripes, the red and white stripes, that's their logo. So just that it's fitting that it's actually on the 4th of July. So that's good. Yeah. And if people are listening now today, even if they wanted to go on to the rmhc.ie website, there's a donate button there.
Exactly.
They could
good
go
point.
On there and just make a donation, but in the comment section, just say comment, if they make a comment, say Donegal Golf, if that's what they want to do it for.
Exactly.
I don't even have to do that.
But it'd be nice.
To get in there.
Donegal Golf. Yeah, okay. So that's the RMC website. What is the, do you know the URL off the top of your head?
I don't. Just rmhc.ie, then get straight into it.
And as I say, just leave a note saying supporting the Donegal Golf event. And if you can't be there, you don't play golf, you'll have had a part in this little chat and this little fundraiser. Good shout there, Victor. Victor Burns, training manager at McDonald's Letterkenny. Thank you so very much indeed. Gareth, and he loved to know it, and all the family.
Cheers, thank you.
And Sean Quinn, CEO, thanks so much for calling in. And you're very welcome back to the Nine Club. Isabel, take a seat, dear. I can't stand looking at you. Okay, we are going to be promoting another event. very, very shortly, because that's what we do in the show. Obviously, you know, we have to platform the serious issues, but we also very much support some great initiatives as well. I might just ask you, Bridget, to sit behind that microphone if you can. Perfect. Lovely stuff. Right, okay. Hit the floor for our Jive at Four in aid of Donegal Hospice. We're asking you to push back the kitchen table, or get up on it, and join our Jive for June campaign and support Donegal Hospice. And I have a very familiar face and voice in studio with me, Isabel Moore. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you, Greg,
Chair
for having me.
Donegal Hospice, and we also have with us Bridget Wilhair. Bridget, thank you so much for calling in. Because yours is often a different experience, okay, because there's a range of emotions here. You're here to support the wonderful work of the Donegal Hospice, but you, like so many of us, have sort of experienced through loss the impact that the hospice can have in the most difficult of times. I'll come to you in a moment, Isabel. Right, Jive for June. It's always, it's proven to go from strength to strength. Thanks to you.
Absolutely.
Because you've driven the living daylights out of this.
Have everybody tortured, Greg.
Yeah, I know, but it's working. Keep at it, right? So talk to me about the money raised so far.
Well,
not this year, but, you know, since it's inception.
Since it started. Well, I started it during COVID. And the first year was 55,800, and then the second year was 125,000, and the third year then was 325, and then 505,000 for 2024.
That's the total. 505 over the four years?
No, that's for 2024. 505,000. So I'm up at 1,013,800.
I mean, that is astronomical.
Yeah.
It really is unbelievable, isn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, you know, every penny counts. That's what we talk about, right? But that's, in terms of maintaining and growing, it's a huge amount of money.
Yeah, yeah. But, Greg, the end of year for us is May 31st, and we need 1.2 to 1.4 million. For the following year, if you know what I mean. So that's...
The clock resets, doesn't it?
Yeah, it resets. But anyway, we did well to get...
But what's kind of happened here is Jive for June has become one of the principal fundraising drives. You know,
yes.
We were talking a little earlier on about the Ronald McDonald House. They've got their flagships. This is, if it's not the flagship, it's heading to the flagship event, isn't it?
Yeah. Like every charity is a worthy cause, and I don't mean to take away from any other charity while doing the Jive for June, but it has really gone from strength to strength, and you know it's the people that come through the doors of the hospice and avail of the home care service and all the businesses, and even we couldn't do it without yourselves because you are the backbone. You know, getting it out there for me. So it's just great that everybody comes on board and it's bigger every year. You know, I don't know about this year because there's a lot of other stuff happening in the community. And we had the big tractor raffle, Orla and Mark Neely last year, and we had the mega draw, Conor McCready and that, the mega draw. But we'll keep going. We'll keep going and see where it goes.
100%. Bridget, thank you for joining us. And your experience of the hospice, your first experience goes back to 2010. Your sister Margaret passed away. What was your experience back then of the Donegal Hospice and the role it played in your sister's illness and I suppose the impact it had on the family?
Well, Margaret, initially we were looking after her at home. Her daughter moved down from Dublin and the plan was to look after her at home. But obviously with cancer there's many medical emergencies and circumstances where they have to go to a hospital or whatever. So after a visit from the GP and the nurse Carmel, they decided that it would be best for Margaret to go into the hospice. So initially we thought it was only going to be for a few days. But the minute we walked in the door and I talked to my niece, who was Margaret's daughter, June, last night, and she said it was as if you were just enveloped with the big arms around you and a hug. And they tell you that this is your home, and to make it your home for whatever length of time your loved one's there. Yeah. And the hospice movement, it's like compassionate, it's dignified end-of-life care for the patient. They do it very well. They look after the physical needs, they look after the spiritual needs, they look after the emotional, they find out where your loved one is emotionally. And even the social end of things, like I've met Isabel many a day down the town looking for balloons or a specific colour, or, you know, that there's a party going on or a birthday or a football match hospice, or something in the hospital.
And they try and personalise it for whoever.
So they personalise, it's tailor-made for your loved one.
And Margaret's case, she wasn't there very long, and it must have come as a bit of a shock, because she was able to walk down to the car and make her way to the hospice and walk in, and then, you know, such is the nature of that horrible disease that she was taken very quickly thereafter. All the more important, I suppose, that she was in that space that you talked about for all of those reasons.
Yes, Margaret walked out her door and walked into the hospice, but whenever she went in, she deteriorated rapidly within 2 days. I think it was Dr. Martin was there at the time, and he called us in and he told us that no, that Margaret wouldn't be getting well. We could take her home if it was our wish, but at that point we were so happy with the care that she was getting and the support, the right people at the right time for her.
It's the comfort that you knew that she was going to receive the care, but it's the comfort knowing that she's in a safe space.
That's exactly it.
All her needs being catered for.
You want the best care for your loved one on their final journey, on those final days. And that's exactly what she got in the Donegal Hospice. The staff are amazing. Mm. They're so professional. They're professionals. They do everything in their power. And it's not just your loved one. Mm. It's us as family. We go in there and they take care of our every needs as well. The pressure's off. We spend time with our loved one. Mm-hmm. You don't have to do anything. You just sit with them and talk to them.
And it's remarkable, you know, here we are 15 years later and those 5 nights still are so important, isn't it? You know, I mean,
very important.
There's not many sort of areas of care or things that could happen in your life that would stay with you like that. But sadly, PJ, your brother-in-law then, this was far more recently, he spent time in Donegal Hospice, having undergone chemo and all of that. As much as you're comfortable in saying, Bridget, talk to me about PJ and his time in hospice.
PJ, yes, he did have chemo, and unfortunately for PJ, it turned out to be terminal, and he, again, many medical emergencies and circumstances, and he decided he wanted himself to go to the hospice. It was his decision after talking to the doctor, so he came from the hospital to the hospice. He spent 12 nights there, and again, what I liked about it was that the family can be there together. Mm. Life's very busy for everybody, mm-hmm. but obviously when somebody's ill, then we stop everything. So, you know, maybe some members of families are not in the county. They're, you know, one of his sisters lives in Sligo. So everybody was together for those 12 days.
It's the environment that's so important, isn't it? It's the environment, you know.
Yes. I mean,
obviously, don't want to use wrong words, obviously there's a finality to the situation, but it's that space in which people can spend maybe their last moments together.
Yes.
It's so critical, so important, isn't it?
Everybody was there together, and the staff in the hospice are amazing because they know exactly the last moment. They know, they see, and they tell you, and we all, you know, everybody's in the room together, and it's just a very special place to be.
Do you know, with everything PJ went through in the medical emergencies and in our hospital and the treatment and finding out how the treatment was going and all that kind of stuff, did there come a sort of a sense of peace with PJ once he entered the hospice that, you know what, I can relax. I know that sounds like a crazy thing to say, right? But He was being pulled from pillar to post, highs and lows, peaks and troughs.
Yeah.
Did you get a sense that he was at comfort?
He was at peace, yes.
Yeah.
And he talked to the spiritual lady, Catherine, and Catherine had a conversation with him, and she came out and she said, he's such a lovely man and he's such at peace. And he was very content, and he had all his family around him. And yes, he did have...
He had his ducks in a row in his head.
Yeah.
If you know what I mean.
Yeah, he was very well looked after. And we can't, as a family, thank the Donegal Hospice enough for all they did for PJ and for Margaret.
And I know that loss was very recent. And and even though, you lost Margaret 15 years ago, it always feels recent, if you know what I mean. And that's why these memories, this matters so much. And I'm going to bring Isabel back in a sec, but it's compassion, it's care, it's that hug, it's the physical hug, it's the virtual hug. Mm-hmm. It's that support, your own community supporting you. I don't know, these are just the words I've found in our experience. What is yours?
The support was second to none. The staff, again, I'll keep on saying the staff are
amazing.
They're
like angels, really, aren't they? Walking around the place.
One of our sons said to me, Mum, they're just heroes, aren't they?
Mm.
And that's exactly, they're angels, they're heroes. They just can't do enough for you. You walk in the door and they're there. If they see a tear, they're there with a hug or a kind word or a cup of tea, or they're watching. I think they have peripheral vision and they see everything that's going on. Yeah, they're not only watching the emotions of your loved one, they're also watching all the emotions of the families there.
Yeah.
Families are all there as well, and every family is going through the same.
Mm.
And when you see someone with a tear, you also give them a hug, or, you know, somebody might see you having a bad day. And
we're here for each other, aren't we?
We're here for each other, is right.
Isabel, wonderful to learn that Bridget and the family got so much comfort with the passing of Margaret and PJ. And that's a very important role that the hospice plays. But, we've talked about this in the past. That's actually really only part of it, an integral, important part. But the hospice provides so much more,
yeah,
be it on site, be it in the community. And that's why funding all of this requires constant effort.
Yeah, we also provide the home care service. We have our 7 home care nurses in the community, and they provide the palliative care in the homes. And we also we cover COPD, motor neuron, MS, and we have children in the community with life-limiting conditions as well. So we cover a wide spectrum of stuff. And really, not until 2 or 3 years ago, Greg, when I had a service user from motor neuron on, a lot of people didn't know.
No.
And we have a lot of people that comes in and out for respite.
Mm-hmm.
They would be in 2 or 3 times in the year for respite.
Yeah.
And that's just to give the family a break.
Because palliative care
covers everything. It covers everything. But it was our pleasure to look after your family and PJ and Margaret, Bridget, and I had really nothing to think about whenever I was taking a service user on that I would ask yourself, because...
But she didn't want to come on and speak to me. I've got my sources.
Yeah.
Right. Don't I?
Yes.
I have my sources.
You have a connection.
And you have a connection.
Can I say that you have done yourself proud, Bridget and Margaret and PJ, by the way, because you spoke so well and really captured it. So you've done fantastic. So be very proud of yourself. You can walk out of here with your head held high. They're watching down, going, fair play to you, Bridget.
Yeah.
You doubted yourself, did you?
Yeah, and that both Margaret and PJ were great javers.
Right.
So it's only fitting that, you know.
So let's get back to it. When does it start? It starts today.
Right, okay. Starts today.
So what do we do? We could do it live, right? So if you're at 4 o'clock, just after the news, David's going to play a track. Get on, jive, video it. But you can play a song and jive, by the way, whenever you like as well.
Yeah.
So talk to me about how people fundraise, because this is about, it's a raising awareness.
It's not all about jiving, Greg. I know I'm trying to force you every year to do the
jive. I'm doing it. I've got my jiving partner.
Oh, have you got?
Yeah, I don't know when we're going to do it. I've already got my partner.
Okay, that's good. Yeah, so that's good. Glad to hear
I'm sure
that.
She'll remind me.
Yeah. So a lot of people, they did tractor runs, they did draws, children did trampoline for a month, they did bake sales, everything. In January, I write out about 250 letters to all the businesses and all the men's sheds and everything to get involved. And they do all the, and coffee mornings, different things that they do. So it's not all about dancing, although there's some of the jives that comes in is very good, but there is an awful lot of people out there that do their jive, but don't send it in.
Mm.
So if they could, you know, it's all a bit of crack and it's good to get people out and about again after COVID.
Yeah,
so.
And it gets us talking about it every day,
yeah.
Right? So
yeah.
It's about awareness and getting involved
yeah.
and being a part of something. You know, it's great to be a part of something greater than yourself sometimes. And, yeah. and this could be the opportunity, you know, come up with your own idea under yeah. the Jive for June umbrella, because as Isabel mentioned, others in the past have, as part of Jive for June, done tractor ones or do whatever
yep.
it is.
Yep.
Get yourself together. We've got four weekends upcoming and time during the week and run something. If you raise €60, my
that's
word,
right.
You know,
you know something. Yeah.
You don't need a partner, by the way. Can I just tell a story about my little sister, Margaret?
Yes, I'm fascinated. Go ahead.
My earliest memory of Margaret, one of my earliest memories of Margaret was when there was a good song, a good jiving song
yeah.
on the radio, and she jived with her partner with the handle of the door.
Or if I suppose it would work.
Yep, yeah. It works, because I've seen her.
Or the mop.
Brushing. She used to, if she was sweeping the floor, she would start jiving with the brush and she would spin around. She was that fast on her feet. She would spin around and catch the brush before it fell.
Oh, really? Oh,
yeah. So you don't need a partner.
Very fitting, very fitting that you'd be here, Bridget.
Hi, that's cool. That's brilliant. All right, you know what? Let's see some videos of you, see if you can match Margaret with the door handle.
Yeah.
Well, I suppose the door handle moves a bit too. I can see how you can make it work. I'm so excited. I'm not speaking into the microphone.
Yeah.
Right, okay. Brilliant stuff. Right, so go on. Give us the hard sell, Isabel. So the Jive for June, obviously. Listen at 4.
Yeah.
Send your videos in.
Yeah.
And how do you raise money in doing so? What's
they can get sponsorship cards from myself as well. And what the platform was set up, and then it'll be all that's it there, Greg, the one www.idonate.ie/fundraiserjive for June 2025.
Yes.
So they can do it by that, or they can just hold the function and then I'll go out to them and do a presentation of a big check or whatever, or they can come to the hospice to do that.
Well, look, at the way it is like this. It's on running. Dust off your dancing shoes. Tune into Jive Time for your daily jive. Come up with ideas to fundraise over the course of the month. You can do whatever you like. Isabel will give you a donation card. If you wish, a sponsorship form, you can gather up money and then put it into the idonate.ie fundraiser. There is no excuse not to get involved in any of this. And don't forget to send on your jives via WhatsApp to 086 60 25 000. We'll share it on all our socials as well, and they'll be working behind the scenes with the Donegal Hospice page as well. But there's no excuse. It doesn't have to be jiving. It can be anything, but let's go this month. We probably won't match last month because of other big things that were ongoing, but we might. Let's see.
Last year,
right.
Well, it's just that there was the fire of the chapel down and you know, there's so much other things that has happened there, Greg. And Doe Island, you know, with them getting burnt and that. So I'm not expecting it, but anyway, we'll keep going.
You know what?
We'll keep going.
The people of Donegal can surprise us.
Yeah, the thing about the new bill that we're in the middle of trying to get off the ground at the moment, before COVID it was 2.3 million and now it's up to 6 million. So we're looking at that as well, you know.
Come in hell.
Yeah.
Okay. But listen, it is, it's the fact. And you know, sometimes charity doesn't extend to contractors and stuff because they have to make a living as well. It's such a big project. But still, it can be overcome. Bridget Wilhair, thank you so much again. Really lovely having you in.
Thank you, Bridget. You did really well,
of course. Not wishing to be patronising, but you really did. And Isabel, obviously, you're a powerhouse. You know the crack. Isabel Moore, Chair of Donegal Hospice. We'll remind people, this is not our last last chat over over June. It's the start of it, right? But we'll be back. Well done, both
Thank you.
All right,
Greg.
And lots of you messaging actually in support of Donegal Hospice. If any of you decide to run anything as part of this, obviously we'll back you on the show, plug it for you, etc. It can be anything in your own little village, community, your own air code for crying out loud, but you can do your bit and raise money for such an incredibly important cause. All right, back with more. In fact, I'll bring you comments on that after the break. Well, the show, it's been over the last 3 hours, you know, talking extensively about, you know, our need as a community, us here in Donegal, for the surgical hub, being part of that. It's so important. I know it might feel negative, right? But it's we're in a process here that hopefully something really positive will come out of it that will, you know, save people's lives, make people more likely to live longer. So I appreciate your patience if you found it grated a little bit. And then to support the wonderful ladies there in the work that the Donegal Hospice does, the joy that it can bring, a strange way of describing it in the most difficult of times. But I remember my own experience and feeling joy is probably too strong, just comfort as people close to me came to their end of life, be it in the hospice or at home. And then, of course, supporting the Ronald McDonald House and that great charity golf competition that I'm going to go to because Victor said he wants me on his team so Sean Quinn can go and jump. I've got a backup plan, right? But also great to be able to platform that because it happens where, you know, our families in Donegal, you know, they get the news and off they go. They start this massive journey for themselves with a young one in their family, potentially in Crumlin, and the Ronald McDonald House is there. So, like, I think it's great that we have this platform together to, you know, campaign or platform a campaign to get proper services to Letterkenny University Hospital, and also then to highlight to amazing charities that and the hospice and the importance of the work that it does, but also Ronald McDonald House. And it's really from my perspective. I don't wish to over-amplify it. I don't think I am. It's just really very special to be able to come in and play a part in that. But we all play a part together because we are, you know, we are one. We have each other's backs in Donegal. We do. We disagree in certain things, but we have each other's backs and we look after each other. And that's what we're going to, that's hopefully what we're going to do after today's show as well. Okay, listen, I don't know why I was going on there, but it just felt like the right thing to say at the right time. That's where we have to leave it today. I'll carry on your messages as it relates to the surgical hub and also your experiences with Donegal Hospice and everything else that you wanted to talk about today. We'll do that tomorrow. But thanks so much for listening or watching. Hopefully you enjoyed the podcast if you're listening on demand. And we're back live on the 9 till noon show, 9 o'clock Wednesday morning.